This is VOA News. I'm Tommy McNeil. The head of the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, Kevin McLeland, is disputing reports of inadequate conditions in crowded detention centers along the U.S.-Mexico border. At the same time, some members of Congress are calling for improved treatment of migrants in U.S. custody. McLeland and U.S. Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib appeared on ABC's This Week Sunday, VOA's Marcus Harton.
McLeland said reports of unsanitary conditions and inadequate food and water were unsubstantiated.
So we've done a tremendous amount. Since December 30th, when we last talked about this, we had 20 medical providers in our facilities border-wide. Now we have over 200. We've built soft-sided temporary facilities.
I mean, what I saw was a number of people at 14, up to 14 in one area, sleeping on the floors. A number of them saying they don't bathe within 15 days.
Representative Rashida Tlaib was part of a congressional delegation that toured the Clint, Texas border station last week. Marcus Harton, VOA News, Washington.
And McLeland said 500,000 people have crossed the southern border just this year. Speaking to reporters, President Trump says that he is going to organize press trips to the detention centers on the border. He spoke while standing near an aircraft.
We're going to send people in. We're going to have some of the press go in and because they're crowded, and we're the ones that were complaining about they're crowded.
Mr. Trump says he believes migrants are being treated well compared to the poverty they came from. He's sending a warning to Iran as well. It better be careful. This comes as Iran announced that it is boosting its uranium enrichment beyond the limits set in a 2015 nuclear deal. Mr. Trump made his comments hours after Secretary of State Mike Pompeo tweeted that Iran's decision will lead to further isolation and sanctions. This is VOA News. The United States has won the Women's World Cup for the fourth time, beating the Netherlands 2-0 in Sunday's final. AP correspondent Ben Thomas.
Fans at watch parties across the U.S., like those heard here in Kansas City, courtesy KCTV, erupted with cheers when Megan Rapinoe coolly drilled home a penalty kick, giving the U.S. the lead in the 61st minute. Then more cheers just 8 minutes later as emerging midfield star Rose Lavelle powered to the edge of the penalty area and hit a low strike past the Netherlands keeper to cement the 2-0 victory. Rapinoe scored 6 goals in the tournament, earning her the golden boot and powering the U.S. to its record 4th Women's World Cup title. I'm Ben Thomas.
5 days after a Libyan detention center for migrants was bombed, killing more than 50 people, a hunger strike inside the compound reached its third day. One protester being held at the detention center told VOA, "We don't need to eat. We don't need to touch the food. We need to be out of Libya." The airstrikes hit the detention center late Tuesday after international organizations warned both sides of Libya's ongoing war that civilians were held at that location, which had been targeted before. Pope Francis invited the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square Sunday to join him in prayer for those who were killed or injured in Libya.
Invito a pregare per le povere persone inermi, uccise o ferite.
Pope saying that I hope the humanitarian corridors for the most needy migrants will be organized in an extended and concerted way. Emergency workers in the U.S. town of Ridgecrest, California, continue to assess damage after a second major earthquake struck the desert community northeast of Los Angeles Friday night. No deaths or major injuries have been reported from either or Thursday's quake. Michael Sullivan reports on the 7.1 magnitude quake.
Friday's quake was felt across Southern California and into neighboring Nevada to the east.
Oh my God.
Seismologists say Friday's earthquake was 10 times more powerful than Thursday's, which measured magnitude 6.4.
The quake did last for some time. It was felt widely.
The larger size of the quake meant the tremors that came before it, including the 6.4, are now classified as pre-shocks. Aftershocks continue to shake the region. Emergency workers have dealt with fires and water and gas leaks.
Obviously, 34 hours in between earthquakes, we're concerned about future aftershocks and where they're going to be.
Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
And you can find more at voanews.com. I'm Tommy McNeil, VOA News.
Good morning, Africa. Welcome to Daybreak Africa from the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Today is Monday, July 8th, and here are some of the stories we are covering. Pope Francis leads prayers for migrants killed in Libyan detention center.
La comunità internazionale non può tollerare.
Pope Francis told the faithful that the international community cannot tolerate such serious incidents.
As viewer Sabina Castelfranco in Rome, the Rwandan government criticizes the Catholic Church for its stance on abortion in the country. Today's scheduled senatorial by-election in Liberia has been postponed for the second time, and one opposition leader says the government is trying to cheat.
It continues to reflect what I consider the incompetence and ineptitude of our government. And by delaying the elections, I believe it gives the government an opportunity to potentially do some rigging of the election, and that's the concern.
Alexander Cummings is leader of the opposition National Alternative Congress Party of Liberia. Information Minister Eugene Nnabwe will explain the reasons for the postponement. And Togo's ruling party says it is happy with its successes in last month's local government election. Those story plus Samson O'Malley Sports are coming up on Daybreak Africa. Pope Francis Sunday prayed for the migrants killed this week by an airstrike in a detention center in Libya and said such acts of violence cannot be tolerated. His prayers came one day before the anniversary of his first visit as Pope to the island of Lampedusa. To mark the anniversary, he will celebrate a special mass for migrants in St. Peter's Basilica. Sabina Castelfranco reports.
Pope Francis on Sunday invited the crowd gathered in St. Peter's Square to join him in prayer for the poor unarmed people who were killed or injured by an airstrike on a detention center for migrants in Libya. A United Nations assessment of the attack this week in the Tripoli suburb of Tajura reported that more than 50 people were killed, including 6 children, and 130 others were injured. It said there were reports that following the first impact, some refugees and migrants were fired upon by guards as they tried to escape.
La comunità internazionale non può tollerare.
Pope Francis told the faithful that the international community cannot tolerate such serious incidents. He expressed the hope that humanitarian corridors may be opened in an organized and concerted manner for the migrants who are most in need. Since his election, the Pope has often spoken out in favor of migrants and on the need to provide assistance to people fleeing wars and famine. His first trip outside of the Vatican after being named Pope in March 2013 was to the southern Italian island of Lampedusa, which for decades has borne the brunt of many of the arrivals of these desperate people. Tomorrow, on the 6th anniversary of that visit, the Pope will celebrate a special mass in St. Peter's Basilica. Some 250 people, including migrants, refugees, and people involved in assisting migrants, will be taking part in the mass on Monday morning. On Sunday, the Pope also told the faithful he wished to remember all the victims of the recent massacres in Afghanistan, Mali, Burkina Faso, and Niger. Meanwhile, many migrants continue to attempt to reach European shores in every possible way. The Alan Kurdi, a German rescue ship with 65 migrants on board, was heading toward Malta on Sunday after Italy refused to allow it to enter its territorial waters. The migrants will be transferred onto a vessel of the Maltese Armed Forces and then relocated from Malta to other European Union member states. The Alan Kurdi is the latest of several vessels to be turned back in the last 10 days, as Italy maintains its closed ports policy and imposes stiff fines on NGOs that break that rule in their efforts to bring migrants to safety. Sabina Castelfranco for VOA News, Rome.
For the second time, Liberia's National Elections Commission, NUAS NEC, has postponed the Monserrato County senatorial and legislative by-elections that were scheduled for today, Monday. The commission will be explaining to the people the reasons for the delay, but some sources said funding from the Ministry of Finance was late, which resulted in the delay of election materials. The senatorial race was to take place between the ruling Congress for Democratic Change candidate Paulita Wei and opposition candidate Abraham Darius Dalen. Alessandro Cummins, the leader of the opposition National Alternative Congress Party, said the delay is part of the ruling CDC party's strategy to finalize its plan of rigging the by-election.
Again, it continues to reflect what I consider the incompetence and ineptitude of our government as manifested by the delay in the by-election. And as my statement stated, this election should have been held a while ago. They were delayed once, and they've been delayed a second time. And there may indeed be some logistical issues or challenges, but these are things that could have been anticipated, could have been avoided. And by delaying the elections, I believe it gives the government an opportunity to potentially do some rigging of the election, and that's the concern. And so my statement, I stand behind, grant the fact that there may have been some real challenges for having the elections on a date, but as a government, these are things that should be anticipated, should be managed, and should be avoided.
I spoken with the Minister of Information, Eugene Nambe. He expressed regret that people who took part in the last election will question the credibility of the Elections Commission, saying that the Elections Commission has had a good record of holding free and fair elections, suggesting that maybe the opposition may be crying wolf.
Yeah, I think that's a cop-out. That's an excuse. As you know, James, the opposition did go to the Supreme Court during the last election, 2017, making some allegations against the whole process, against the NEC. So this is not inconsistent with that. I think the government uses this as an excuse. The opposition is crying wolf, et cetera, to disguise the fact that they are not delivering on what was promised to Liberian people. We deserve better than we have today. And so we stand by our statement. We stand behind the fact that this is a government that's presiding over an economy that is declining. These are not my facts. By every objective measure, Liberia is going in the wrong direction. Unemployment is increasing. The value of the Liberian dollar is decreasing. All the human development indexes are going the wrong way. There is trash being stacked up across Mosorado County, particularly in Metro Monrovia. This is real. These are facts. This is not opposition crying wolf. And I'd like the Minister of Information to refute the facts and tell the Liberian people what is exactly is happening.
Talking about facts, you state in your statement that there's an assertion that reports indicating that droves of partisans of the ruling CDC are being trucked to Monrovia to obtain replacement lost voters registration card. Do you have fact to back it up?
We do. I don't believe we use the word trucked in the statement, but we know that there is a significant increase in the number of people requesting replacement voter registration cards compared to any previous election. Again, these are facts. This is what is happening, and we stand by those assertions.
You indicate that if the elections are not held today, Monday, this will be in violation of the Constitution. What happens then?
Unfortunately, as the opposition, there's nothing we can do except to point out the fact that this government, through its incompetence and ineptitude, has violated the Constitution of our country.
Alexander Cummins is the leader of the opposition National Alternative Congress Party of Liberia. You're speaking with us from Atlanta, Georgia. Today's Monday, July 8th, and you're listening to Daybreak Africa on the Voice of America. I'm James Butte in Washington. Daybreak Africa time, 14 minutes past the hour. Liberian Information Minister Eugene Nambe has defended the National Elections Commission's NEC decision to postpone for the second time the Mosorado County senatorial and legislative by-elections that were scheduled for today, Monday. The leader of the opposition National Alternative Congress Party had said the delay was part of the ruling Congress for Democratic Change CDC strategy to finalize its plan to rig the by-election. Information Minister Nambe says the NEC has a good record of holding fair elections and that the opposition is simply crying wolf because the ruling CDC remains a very strong political force.
You know, the National Elections Commission is an autonomous body, but they have informed us that because of the late arrival of some of the election material, they are unable to host the elections on Monday, and therefore they have postponed the elections to a date which they will announce very shortly. So it is actually a purely technical matter.
So who's responsible for the materials not arriving on time? the government or the Elections Commission?
Clearly, it's the Elections Commission because they are in charge of administering the elections. We have to realize that when these by-elections come up, which are very spontaneous and unplanned, all of us, including those of us in the government, those in the opposition, and the neutral arbiter that the Elections Commission is, we all have to scramble and ensure that we have a very successful election. Let me just say this quickly, that the National Elections Commission of Liberia has a history of performance, a history of delivering, a history of carrying out free, fair, and transparent elections. So we are not really worried about their capability, about their ability to deliver this time.
The leader of the Alternative National Congress Party, Mr. Alexander Comis, says that the delay is part of your government or the ruling party's attempt to buy time so that you can rig the elections.
It is unfortunate that somebody who participated in a free, fair elections just over a year ago will now question the integrity of the National Elections Commission and the integrity of the process. I want to say very categorically that the way our elections are structured, it is virtually impossible for anybody to rig the elections. We have had several elections here in Liberia, and NEC by itself has delivered a free, fair, and transparent election. So you will have to ask Mr. Cummings to show you evidence of his claims, because these claims are unfounded, they are baseless, and they are unfortunate, because we all have a stake to protect our democracy, and one of the best ways to do that is to start making baseless claims without any iota of truth or any evidence to support these wild allegations.
One allegation that Mr. Cummings also made is that the ruling party has been bringing people into Monrovia to participate in the election.
How possible is that? Because people register at precinct. You have a precinct number, you have a voting number. It's not possible for somebody who is registered in Bond County to come and vote in Montserrat County. The elections processes are so clear that when people make these unfounded allegations, it is the obligation of you, the journalists, to push them. I think these people are crying wolf because, you know, after all of the hullabaloo, they realize that the CDC remains a very strong force politically, not just in Montserrat, but in the country as a whole.
Liberia's Information Minister Eugene Nambwe was speaking with us from Amsterdam, the Netherlands. The Rwandan government has criticized the Roman Catholic Church for instructing church-sponsored hospitals to refuse government funding for family planning programs. The health ministry says the Catholic Church is hampering the government's efforts to increase the number of people who should have access to family planning. Eugene Uwimana has more from Kigali.
The Rwandan government's criticism came after the Roman Catholic Church ordered its hospitals not to deliver family planning kits to women and not to have family planning in the hospital's action plan. Dr. Diane Gashumba is the Rwanda's Minister of Health. I was surprised to see two letters, one written by a bishop of Kyangugu and Ruhengeri dioceses, ordering the hospital administrators to urgently send back government funding for family planning programs. They were also ordering them not to deploy family planning doctors in health posts. This is unacceptable. It's a kind of violating the constitution because they are denying Rwandans their rights of choosing what works better. The government should be the only health regulator in the country. The Vatican wants women to use natural family planning methods. It says pills and other modern methods are against church beliefs. Father Eric Twizigimana works in Bugesera Diocese. This is in line with Catholic Church principles. That's why in parish, we have a commission for family. We are also concerned with this rapid population growth, but we teach our Christians to use natural family planning methods. That is what God allows, but the government seems to ignore it. The family planning issue has brought considerable attention to the country. The Roman Catholic Church, which has always played a conservative role on the issue, owns many influential hospitals in Rwanda. But the Minister of Health says the church should take its hands off family planning programs. Family planning programs align with the country's economic goals. We are working hard on reducing this rapid population growth to meet development strategies that the President of the Republic has promised the citizens
In this seven-year term, we cannot permit anyone stands in our way. The 2017 report of the Rwanda National Institute of Statistics shows that nearly 300,000 babies are born every year. This is the population of one of the 30 districts. The Ministry of Health says that about 19% of women in Rwanda do not get family planning services. The government wants to increase access from the current 50% to over 60%. Eugene Uwimana for VOA News, Kigali, Rwanda.
Togo's ruling party says it is happy with its successes in last month's poorly attended local government election. The ruling Union for the Republic Party won 895 of the 1,490 municipal council seats. Except for the Pan-African National Party, most of the opposition parties took part in the election. The National Alliance for Change Party came second with 134 seats. The coalition of 14 political parties, which led months of protest against President Faure Gnassingbé's rule, was third with 131 seats. Gilbert Bawara, Togo's Minister for Public Administration, says the results demonstrate the popularity of the ruling party in all parts of Togo.
My party, the government, we are very satisfied because the result of this local election has once more demonstrated that the Union pour la République is well represented and has a strength not only in Lomé or in some of the regions or the area, but all over the country. This is one of the lessons of this election. And we are also encouraged by this step forward, which will promote local development with more implication and more involvement by the citizens and the population.
For a long time now, the opposition took part in the elections. Does your government hope that this will be the beginning of a new rapport between the government and the opposition in terms of democracy?
No, you know, we never lose faith. We were expecting that one way or the other, the opposition will become more reasonable and accept to participate in the election. So the fact that all the segments of the opposition were able to attend this election is a good move forward. And we will continue to be open to make sure that all the political stakeholders have the possibility to make some contribution to the development of the country.
I saw the percentage about 52% participation. What does this say about the organization of the election, particularly on the part of CINE?
Of course, the attendance was very low, and then it may be linked to the fact that there was not a lot of sensitization and explanation of the objectives and the need for the population to mobilize and participate to the election. But compared to other African countries, I think we're still in the average of the subregion.
I know the opposition have been saying that Faure Gnassingbé, the president, needed to step down. What does this mean now, moving forward politically
in
Togo?
I don't think it is up to the opposition to choose who should be the candidate of our party. I think we have a constitution, we have the rules, and in addition to the rule and the constitution, you have two other considerations. First, what will be the intention and the decision by Mr. Faure Gnassingbé himself? And secondly, what his political party will decide. So at this stage, the President of the Republic is concentrated on the preoccupations and the need for us to work for the development of the country, not regarding his own ambition.
Your government probably is trying to reach out to the diaspora. I think the foreign minister set up a diaspora council. What does that mean?
Since 2005, we have been implementing public policy which encourage and promote the participation of the diaspora to the development and the national reconciliation. And it is in that context that the Minister of Foreign Affairs gathered some of the Togolese living abroad to encourage them and strengthen the need for them to reinforce their involvement and participation to the development of their mother country.
Gilbert Bawara is the Togo's Minister for Public Administration. He was speaking with me from the capital, Lomé. 45 minutes past the hour time now for Daybreak Africa. Sponsor here is Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. A very good Monday morning to you, Samson.
Good Monday morning to you, James. We begin the sports in France, where the United States won a record-extending fourth Women's World Cup with a 2-0 victory over the Netherlands on Sunday, as second-half goals from Megan Rapinoe and Rose Lavilla confirmed their status as the leading power in the women's game. A perfect occasion for Rapinoe, whose outspoken views have been most prominent on the pay disparity between men and women players, was capped when FIFA chief Gianni Infantino was booed amid chants of equal pay by U.S. fans. Megan Rapinoe won the World Cup Golden Boot and Golden Ball Awards.
It's unbelievable just to know all of the people in our group that put in so much work. Obviously, the players. We have all our friends and family here. It's like, it's surreal. I don't know how to feel right now. We're crazy. That's what makes it special. We just have no quit in us. We're so tight, and we'll do anything to win.
United States female national football team coach Jillian Ann Ellis was full of praises for her girls.
Amazing group of players, but an even better group of people. I mean, just fantastic resilience, just chemistry, just they put their hearts and soul into this journey. And I can't thank them enough. It's been fantastic.
And back here on the African continent, the African Cup of Nations quarterfinal stages is almost getting set as Madagascar's fairy tale in the country's maiden African Cup of Nations campaign continues after they beat two-time winners DR Congo 4-2 on penalties, having shed four goals in 120 minutes on Sunday. It is the first time the island nation is making their debut at the tournament, and for Ansiet Abel, who was voted man of the match, the Madagascans will keep fighting.
We did a great job again today against Congo. And Congo was very, very strong today. But in the end, we win.
In Sunday's second game, Algeria put up a flawless performance to thrash Guinea's Sili National 3-0 to progress to the quarterfinals for the Total African Cup of Nations Egypt 2019. Morocco, one of the pre-tournament favorites, were the first North African side to be kicked out of the tournament after losing on penalties to Benin Republic in Cairo on Friday night. Host Egypt became the second North African country to be kicked out of the tournament by South Africa when Thembikosi Lorch scored on 85 minutes to give South Africa a stunning 1-0 victory over African Cup of Nations host after a pulsating last 16 clash in Cairo on Saturday. Coach Stuart Baxter said it took bravery on the part of his boys to deal with the home crowd.
I think the players did a fantastic job in that respect. You know, I asked them to play in a very brave way, to press very high up the field, and Egypt have good players, and sometimes they get out, and then we had to transfer to a very low defence.
Defending champion, the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon were edged out by neighbours Nigeria in the match that ended 3-2. And that's it for Daybreak Africa Sports. I am Samson O'Malley in Abuja, Nigeria. It's back to you, James, in Washington.
Thank you, Samson. Have a good day. Briefly, before we leave you, a summary of Africa news. Pope Francis on Sunday prayed for the migrants killed this week by an airstrike on a detention center in Libya and said such acts of violence cannot be tolerated. His prayers came one day before the anniversary of his first visit as Pope to the island of Lampedusa. To mark the anniversary, he will celebrate a special mass for migrants in St. Peter's Basilica. That is it for this Monday, July 8th edition of Daybreak Africa. We thank you for starting your week with us. On behalf of the Daybreak Africa crew, I'm James Bott in Washington, wishing you in Africa a very productive week.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.